This is EAA Radio, broadcasting the spirit of aviation around the globe.
Good morning. This is Digital Dave with EAA Radio, and I'm speaking with Mr. Andre Borsberg, the CEO of Solar Impulse, a group, a consortium, I guess you could say, of people who are going to fly around the world on 100% solar power.
First of all, we believe that as we are fully dependent on oil, we have to find other solutions in terms of energy resources. And there are two ways to do that. One is simply to reduce our energy consumption and to use technology in this direction. And second is to develop renewable energies. And with this project, we'd like to demonstrate that this is feasible. We are building a solar-powered airplane, and only solar power will propel this airplane. It should fly day and night. To fly around the world, that's also necessary. And in order to achieve that, we have to build an airplane which is using very little energy to fly, which means very efficient aerodynamically and very efficient in its own propulsion systems.
Most people would assume that you've built essentially a motor glider, but from looking at the pictures and previous conversations we've had, you guys are pushing the envelope as far as weight and size. How did you arrive at the conclusion this would be possible?
Well, we did a feasibility study about 7 years ago. I think first we looked at what has been built, because solar power concepts are not new. I mean, the first solar powered aircraft, I think, flew in the late 70s. It has been very nice and very good examples. They all share the same characteristics, which is to fly mostly between 9, 10 o'clock in the morning up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun is high in the sky. But no one was able to fly during the entire day, and of course, no one is able to fly day and night. So we looked at the energy which can be collected. We looked at the energy which had to be used to fly, and came to different conclusions. I mean, the first conclusion was that it needs an airplane of a pretty large size to be, if I can put it this way, very efficient aerodynamically. So we had planned to have a wingspan larger than 60 meters, so about the size of a jumbo jet. If you have such an airplane, you can quickly measure how much and how big the surface would be where you could install solar cells, knowing the technologies available and what electric motors can deliver and how efficient they are. You can also see how much power we have in average. And for such an airplane, it's equivalent to a small motorcycle, so it's not much. So knowing the size of the airplane, knowing the power available, knowing aerodynamics and physics, you can understand how much weight you can carry and which kind of wing loading you can afford. And in our case, we came to the conclusion at the time that we could not be over 8 kilograms per square meters.
Obviously, the airframe itself is full of carbon fiber and very, very lightweight components. But the solar cells, now most of us think of solar cells as little blue, about 4 inches round, made out of essentially glass, silica. Now, wouldn't those be awfully heavy?
They used to be in the past. I think technology improved quite a lot, and manufacturers have been, at least one, I mean, with whom we work, which is SunPower, managed to make it much thinner. They reduce, I think, thickness by at least 50%, and we are working now also to reduce it even further, by another third. So, of course, it had an impact on the weight already. I think it's a question of compromise, compromise in terms of efficiency and compromise in terms of weight. But I think the best opportunities to improve technology should come from the batteries, should come from the storage side, which is still, I would say, also reducing the attractiveness, moderating the attractiveness of the use of renewable energies in some forms of transportation today.
In a battery airplane, you're carrying 100% of your fuel weight in your energy storage, whereas a combustion airplane, if you don't count the weight of the air that you have to process through the engine, there's a tremendous weight savings there. So you guys don't have that advantage.
No, that's true. And if you look at the energy densities of both, you need 35 kilos of batteries to store the same energy that you have in 1 kilogram of Jet A1 or fuel.
Let's talk about the airplane itself. Obviously, it's an extremely long, slender wing. Now, the one thing I'm noticing is it's four engines, and conventional design thinking would have all four engines as close to the center line as possible. And it looks like you guys went the opposite way. You've taken your outboard engines and put them almost all the way out at the wing, at the tips. Is that a way to help control yaw with differential thrust? Is that why you guys did that?
No, the main reasons were coming from flutter calculation. And we wanted to have weight more on the end of the wing that's just at the roots there. So I think this may change a little bit with the experience we are currently making, but that was one of the reasons why, in fact, we came to this quite special, as you said, quite special solution.
You state that the flight envelope will extend up to about 100 kilometers per hour. That seems awfully fast.
Yes, I think the maximum speed of the airplane is slightly lower than that. So we will explore from the stall speed is below 20 knots, and we will go up to almost 50 knots, and that's the speed range we have for this airplane.
Now it looks like your landing speed was practically a fast run.
Yes, it is. Well, as I said, I mean, the stall speed is below 20, what we are very careful to is not to approach the low speed, because you don't want to test stall and get close to the stall speed in flight, because you're not sure, you know, what will happen with such an airplane and how it would go out of a spin. So obviously we try to maintain speeds which are in the safe part of the envelope. And our first goal now is to be able to demonstrate we can fly day and night. So that's what we will attempt this summer, and we will do some test flights over the next weeks to get a very good understanding about the performance of this airplane, where we can improve it. Our idea is to start the design of a second airplane this summer, with which we want to do long distance flights, Atlantic crossing, for example. I mean, I think we would really be very happy if we could fly New York and to Le Bourget like Lindbergh did in 27, but now with the solar energy only. And of course, then to prepare for the flight around the world, which you may want to remember is scheduled to be from one continent to the next. So it's not a non-stop flight. It's a flight scheduled with a stopover on each continent. But with only one pilot on board, that's the payload we can afford. And this gives us also, for each leg, a flight duration up to 5 days and five nights, which is not easy to handle for one pilot operation.
Yeah, I don't know how you design a pilot to fly that long.
Well, that's another question, exactly. I mean, first we have to design a proper cockpit for the pilot to stay in this environment for so long. Then we'll have to work out different solutions for the pilots. I mean, I would say mostly to rest, because that's certainly a big issue. How you rest, of course, we will have a good autopilot. We don't have it on the first airplane yet. That's going to be built in later this year and tested, but it's certainly going to be developed also for the second airplane. So that's something which still has to be done. And as you said, I mean, we have to be able to train the pilot for these kind of long-duration flights.
Let's talk about the climb rate of the airplane. It looked like from the video and the fact that you took your initial flight up to, I believe, 5,000 meters, that climbing is not a problem. You've got lots of excess power.
We had good power. We had good surprises there. I think we have a better performance than what we expected, which is good news. We did not climb so high. I mean, we went up to 5,000 feet, not meters.
Okay.
For the first flight, we will go to. The ceiling of this aircraft is 8,500 meters, which we'll get certainly when we do the flight through the night, which we scheduled for May, June, July. But the climb rate, as you rightly said, was surprisingly good. So that was the first good news of the first test flight. I mean, controllability was, of course, the second one, that it was close to the flight simulators. We already get some good feedbacks from the runway flights we did in December, but we needed, in fact, the confirmation for the entire flights.
I was quite surprised at your, I guess you could call it mission control. It looked like a space shot. You guys had so much telemetry coming down from the aircraft and so many people keeping an eye on it. That was quite impressive.
Well, we wanted to have enough information during the flight in order, in fact, to... But maybe not for the first flight, but for the subsequent flights, in order to tell the pilot maybe to do some further testing if we see data or behaviors that needed, in fact, more testing. So I think it helps to better organize all the flight test program. I think it helps to better use each flight. And it's also something which helps for the safety of the different flights as well.
Well, again, congratulations on a fantastic success and many more to come. And we'll be looking for you to fly that all the way to Oshkosh, Wisconsin one summer. How's that sound?
Yeah, with great pleasure. Looking forward to. Hope it works once like that.